This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Noelle Lim. Today I speak with Stephanie Sit, CEO of Inmagine Group, a Malaysian homegrown business, co-founded by Stephanie and her husband Andy. Inmagine's brand, 123RF, is the fourth largest stock image repository in the world after Getty Images, Shutterstock, and so forth. The group also acquired from Autodesk, Pixlr, the online photo editor that has been installed over 100 million times. Stephanie, thank you for speaking with us. Inmagine gives tools to users like me or even big companies to create anything from poster images to short videos from your existing database of images and also from crawling through websites and stitching content within minutes. Are you taking on Adobe?
We wouldn't say that we are taking on Adobe. We wanted to make sure that we have a full suite that is seamless journey to any creative designers or marketers. Because if we are just stick to stock content that we have been doing for the past 20 years, right, our conversation with customers will just stay there. So, but after stock content, what's next, right? Everybody would need to do an editing process to pictures and then before the end product is being presented. So we want to complete that journey.
There are a few large players in this space like Adobe, but Adobe also cover a huge spectrum of users from professional all the way down to casual users if they're willing to pay. So, but in the digital world, people say one winner takes all. So you really have to find your niche. How would you position Inmagine?
Now, we would like to make sure that one day we are covering from children to all the way to people who are more senior, who are able to still do some design work if they need, not just on business projects, but sometimes on their day-to-day lives. For example, children doing their school projects or whatsoever. It takes away the headache from parents to chip in to help them to complete projects sometimes, you know. So that's the game plan. But we are pricing our services at a very affordable rate. We are talking about $4 a month if you're on an annual plan. And we are serving with an AI cutout tools, which is making work much more faster so that you do not have to go through the process and spending hours to just edit something. So it makes things faster and save time for everyone. When you are a small businesses or you're just a startup, right? We've been through that path and there are certain things is too costly in terms of operation if we need to commit into certain digitization or whatsoever. So we are leveraged on that to give this opportunity to everyone to be able to use, have access to content and tools that is much more at a much more lower price point.
Why is Inmagine wanting to compete on price? Why choose this strategy as opposed to going for the high-end professional market?
We wouldn't say that the affordable price means you have to forego the quality or whatsoever. And it is options, right? It's just like even airlines, you have AirAsia, you have Malaysia Airline, and it's just another option for people to choose and serving different people with different needs.
So market share is the main goal?
Yes. To be honest, there are people in the third world countries or developing countries, right? Some of them, they may also go for pirated softwares or whatsoever. Instead of going pirated, right? So they could just pay a very small fee right now and gain access to a world-class editing tool and copyrighted content. So it reduced risk.
Would you say that the emerging market space is where you're going to be focusing your branding and marketing?
I would say yes, but US and Europe is still our largest market. From what we understand based on research, there are more and more people working on freelance. There are bloggers all over the world who is doing work for small to large businesses as well. And sometimes if they are engaged full-time under a company, yes, they are given a laptop and they are given the software and access to everything that they need. But the moment if they are not attached to any company, they are on their own, that's where they need solutions, options, more affordable options where they can still carry on their tasks and earn a living. Asia has different target, more on education drives that we want to go in as well, so that we prepared our next generation since young that they are having this tool to help them to improve creative thinking, design thinking. So we are going this angle through education that it's free for kids, driving the lessons after school hours for some of the term, like 12 weeks or something. We are now developing the plans, which is not solid yet. But yes, something will kickstart second half of the year.
Inmagine has been on an acquisition path. What asset is still missing in the portfolio or assets?
I would say we were quite bold 3-4 years ago acquiring different assets from different places. As of now, we are going to put that a pause because I think we have gotten almost every single assets that we need, and just to integrate them is a very long process as well, and to make sure that it is integrated to the process, the creative process that we wanted to offer to the client, from content to tool. So as for now, no more acquisition.
Is the integration in terms of processes or technology, or is it a cultural type of integration?
It is very much on technology integration, because we are putting a lot of effort on data and then machine learning and to bring out the AI effect of everything. So it's through this, with the behavior of our customers, then we come out with the outcome of AI solutions to our customers, because we have millions of data points that each and every day has been collected by our back-end machine. And also, we recently just launched Imagine Brain. It is a suggestive tool. Say, for example, we noticed that a lot of time we like to ask, you know, if we take a few pictures, then we like to ask, is this better or that better? Or when we, you know, want to buy something, we will always ask, is this better or that better? So on the creative journey, we also wanted to provide this suggestive tool so that people can compare, and then the back-end machine will tell them, this is what you need to choose. Instead of asking another third person or a second person for opinion, Imagine Brain will be able to help you for that answer.
So if I want to decide whether I should choose a picture of this cat or that cat, the brain will be able to tell me, and this will be based on the number of downloads by other users?
Yes, and even also after editing. So once you edit, you have, let's say, different filter, different lighting or whatsoever, right? So which one is better for overall presentation? So it will give you that answer that you need.
What you are offering so far is 2D, two-dimensional output on the screen, like an image or a poster image or a video. What's the moonshot for Imagine? Like, would you even consider like 3D objects, virtual reality, hologram perhaps?
I would say those are more for gaming. There was one point of time a few years ago we looked into this space, but at the end of the day, we still think that we are more confident on what we have been doing on 2D. That's just been our strength for many, many years. Virtual reality and the rest require different type of skill set as well, and different type of technology. So we still think that it is more relevant to us to do what we are good at and to make sure that we provide the best solutions to our customers.
In the digital space, things move so quickly. And then when we talk about 5G, then the speed of internet would really go up very fast. And then you will start to see a lot more solutions. And then users may start to demand these solutions. And smartphones are also going to get smarter. So I'm just wondering whether Imagine is thinking ahead of the curve.
Yes, we recently just launched designs.ai, where inside we have one tool called Video Maker. So it helps us to generate short video clips at a very affordable price. If it's one project, each project will give you 10 videos, voice over and background music, which just costs you $33. But if you're talking about 20 projects, each project is just $20. And these short clips allows you to be able to connect and I would say to tell your stories in a different way. It's more or on a 1 minute kind of clips. So generated by putting in text into our system and then the visuals will be generated by N. And then you can choose the languages supported by 10 languages at the current moment and the music that you need. And the full package is it's just like $33. So we make it very easy for everybody. So that's another angle that we venture into. And it's all powered by AI at the back end.
When you say powered by AI, could you just describe what it means?
So you put in 10 sentences that you want to tell your story. Then back end, each of the screen will be generated based on what you have input. That is part of AI journey. You have to go through the search. Back end has been doing a search for you and present it to you immediately. So it's really one sentence that you want to describe something. Then it calls out the actual visuals or clips that is relevant to what you want to say.
I am speaking with Stephanie Sit, CEO and co-founder of Inmagine Group on The Breakfast Grill this morning. The group is the fourth largest image repository company in the world. After this, we'll discuss what it takes to transition from a startup to a large corporation.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, Stephanie Sit, CEO and co-founder of Inmagine Group, speaks to us about her strategy. Transitioning from startup bootstrapping mindset to a big sophisticated corporation. As the CEO, how are you managing these changes?
Okay, I think a lot of things is like, it's already in our day-to-day DNA. It is like climbing the mountain. You know, for a start, terrain is different. Then when you go up, it's different. So it's kind of natural though, because we need to move very fast with what technology can help us to improve on things that we need to do. So it is not really like a lot of like challenges or whatsoever, but I think it is quite natural for us. We know that this is the way. There is no other way. You have to do it.
I think what helps is also hiring and keeping top talent. They're usually not cheap and as they could be working in any part of the world. And people say Malaysian companies could pay their talent more. So I'm wondering how does Inmagine plan to reward your talent? You know, you want to keep these, you want to keep really good talent.
I think onboarding with Inmagine is very much about learning. Especially for local talents. In fact, yes, talent is one of the challenges that we are facing in Malaysia. What we are trying to do is to import some of these foreign talents from various countries, which could help us to develop the local talent that we need here. And as a form of reward, I would say that a lot of our colleagues actually have been with the company for a long time. Because of what we do, you wouldn't get bored each day. Because almost every day we need to evolve, we need to make changes. There are certain things that we need to disrupt ourselves. So it's a never-ending learning process with us. And hence, a lot of people find it interesting because nowadays, I think people work not just because of reward or money, but it's also the experience that they can get.
Were plans for an IPO, and I understand it was shelved a couple of times. How long more can you afford to wait?
I would say that the business that we are doing actually gives us a very healthy cash flow. And that's the reason why we are able to sustain for so many years, right? We are talking about 20 years here. We are able to sustain by investing a lot of our revenue investing back into a lot of research and development. And we are still able to achieve what we want as a player, as one of the players in the world. So IPO is something that is good to have, but we are not rushing into it.
The company is cash rich. So why consider an IPO in the first place?
I wouldn't say cash rich, but we have healthy cash flow enable us to invest back into what we need to do in terms of R&D, technology. If we have additional funding, then we would be able to be more aggressive in certain things like marketing, certain campaigns that you sometimes really need to throw money into it. At the current moment, we are still very careful with our spending because we look into the ROI of each of the initiatives as well. We got to spend really wisely. Not to say that if we have extra funding means we can simply spend, right? But the game plan or strategy would be different.
Would it be more on acquisitions and, like you mentioned, marketing, branding?
We will build more on content and technology.
Okay.
Acquisition is something that, you really need to be very careful. And if there's a right partner, maybe yes. But that is not in our plan right now.
So Imagine has acquired a few companies. What are some challenges? What are some learnings from the whole acquisition trail that Imagine had embarked on?
Acquisition is something, a decision by everyone, right, in the company. It's the post-acquisition and where we talk about integration of content, the back-end engine, and how it works and how it can be presented as a one-stop or integrated and presented to the eye of the audience is another different story. So a lot of time, to be honest, I think to close an acquisition, the journey is faster than the post-journey where we are talking about integration. Say, for example, we acquire Hexler 3 years ago from Autodesk, right? So it took us a while to make some changes into it and then to put in what is the AI features that we want to add on. So this process has actually taken us a long time.
On hindsight, would you then start the business or acquisition is still the faster and better way?
Definitely acquisition is still a fastest way because some of these platforms that we have acquired in previous few years, it has really got ready content, some of them. It has got ready traffic. It has got a ready buyer, like customers. Which means that it also has a healthy revenue. That's why the acquisition.
On a personal note, you started out as an intern working for your co-founder, Andy, who then became your husband. Unfortunately, we live in a male-dominated environment and occasionally you may have to live under his shadow or receive second-class treatment when traveling to countries with little respect for women. How do you feel about this?
On a very personal opinion, we have been brought up in such a way, to be honest. You know, Asian brought up, right? So we have to respect the senior. We have to respect the father at home, right? If you have brothers, then you have to respect brothers, right? So, I mean, personally, in my opinion, I have been brought up that way, you know, and to, not to say to be a follower, but it's never like I want to be the outstanding one.
But your contribution to the company is so invaluable, right? You really put it all together. Andy can have the ideas and the vision, but really it comes down to execution and you have been that partner to execute. So you should also get due credit. And do you feel that you get enough credit for your work?
I don't think I need to get credits for my work because I think my work is collectively or achievement is collectively something that's done with a group of people. I always tell my team, you know, without them, I'm nobody, right? But with me around, I hope that they will become somebody, you see. So Maybe because I'm the founder, so my perspective on that is a bit different compared to many people. We have been brought up, or myself have been brought up in such a way that, you know, we have to respect people. I think very much like Japanese women as well, they are being brought up to be very humble and polite and give way to their partners, right? So I kind of like gear towards that as well. I'm not an aggressive type anyway.
How would you raise your children? I mean, you have twin daughters, so would you create the same kind of environment that you were raised in, whereas to differ to the male?
Yes, I would say in to some extent, yes, because it's not about who is dominating, but it is about respect each other. So it's not about is a guy or a girl, female or male, but, you know, we just need to be very truthful to ourselves and respect others for what they are tasked to do.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us. It was a pleasure speaking with you. That was Stephanie Sitt, CEO of Inmagine Group. I'm Noelle Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.